I begin this morning by using the prayer that was used by the bishops yesterday and the members as they opened the second session of the plenary council, the fifth plenary council of Australia. It's a very important prayer. Most of you will not have heard it before, as it was written for this occasion, and which coincides with National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Week. And the plenary hopefully opens the future for the Church of Australia in the direction in which the Holy Spirit calls us. And so we pray. Creating and redeeming God, beneath the Southern Cross and in its light, you have called together a people for Christ among the many peoples of this land. You have made us new in the image of Jesus, your beloved Son, and breathed into us the spirit of sons and daughters of God. Look on the face of your church in Australia today. See our brokenness and sorrow for the crimes of abuse and hardness of heart that have wounded so many individuals and families. See our hope for the future and longing for your kingdom. And give us new hearts. Hearts of flesh, not of stone, that we might burn with your divine love for the world. Teach us to read the sign of the times in the light of the gospel, with deep listening and patient discernment, and send your spirit to lead us into all truth, that the journey of the fifth plenary council may strengthen the participation and communion of all members of the church in this land, and raise up a living witness to your presence among all peoples and through all creation. Mary, Mother of the Church and Help of Christians, pray for us. Saint Mary of the Cross MacKillop, pray for us. It is timely that the plenary council, this second session of the plenary council, part of a four-year process, opens on the same weekend as we give time and space and acknowledgement to our First Nations people. It does coincide with the readings. The readings for the church's liturgy haven't been altered to adjust to the Australian context. As always, scripture fits into every context, but it is helpful to know where and who it was written for at the time of writing. And today we have a sense of closing and we have a sense of beginning. I'll start with the beginning. From the Gospel we have Jesus commissioning, if you like, the 72 to go out and prepare the places where Jesus is to go. So straight away, that says to us with the plenary council, for example, to prepare the place, to prepare this nation for Jesus to really come forward among the people in this land. For you sitting here this morning, you are called and commissioned to go forward and prepare your world for the coming of Jesus, because the kingdom of God is at hand. You do that in whatever way you can, with whatever gifts you've been given. Deny nothing. In the scripture from Luke's gospel there, it says, take nothing for the journey. Don't even salute anybody on the road, which is a very un-Australian thing to do. Even as we drive, many of us wave to the person coming in the country anyway, in the opposite direction. The lollipop men who repair the roads and women who repair the roads, I don't know about you, but I always acknowledge them, quite often wind down the window and do something quite salutary. So it's un-Australian. So why would Jesus say that? It is his way of saying, through the language of St. Luke, don't let anything distract you. You are on a mission and I commission you. Now get out there and do it. You haven't got time to swap recipes by the side of the road with people that you want to bump into. You've got to go further than that and deeper than that. And that's why he's saying, don't carry anything to weigh you down. Get out there and prepare the way. And that challenge is for all of us by virtue of our baptism. So it's a new beginning. In the second reading, we have St. Paul writing that very small but intimate letter to the people of Galatia in southern Turkey these days. And they were a bit lost. Paul had introduced the church to them, and they were a bit lost because they were confused about keeping part of the law of Moses and then moving forward with Jesus. And Paul simply says, "These very marks on my body are a testimony that I will give everything. There is no law of Moses. There is only one law given to us by Jesus Christ, and that is to love the Lord your God and love your neighbour. And that's what we must do. Don't bring in any other foreign writings or readings, listening to false prophets. Just simply love and follow Jesus. It's the same sort of commissioning. And it's with those words in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians that he closes the letter with a blessing. The marks on his body, he say, testify to the cross, testify to his faith in Jesus. The temple at that particular time in history had slaves, what they call temple slaves. Each of those temple slaves were branded, actually, like cattle. They had a mark on them that designated them as temple slaves. They belonged to serve the temple, and this marked them out. Paul goes further and he says, "These marks from the whips and the chains that I have received, these are my temple marks to say that I belong to Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid that the same thing may happen to you," he says to the people of Galatia. And we translate that into, "Don't be surprised if people don't welcome you as you bring Jesus into their world." The first reading from, it's the closing words of the 66th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. The people have returned from exile to Jerusalem. And that's why he describes Jerusalem as a mother who is breastfeeding. It's a very intimate language that is used there. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, she gathers all her chickens in, brings them to her breast, and feeds them with the milk of life." It's very intimate. And it is a letter that is written to give the people hope and encouragement now that they have gone through the horrors of the exile, but now they've come home. It is also symbolic of the kingdom of God breaking forward here and now. So in those three readings today, we are celebrating the welcoming of coming back, of acknowledging the kingdom of God on this long-living and sacred land. We welcome the kingdom of God among us. We let nothing distract us on our journey. And I suppose in the words of Micah, the prophet Micah, when I say, how do we do this? How do we actually do it? It is really simple. Painful at times, but very, very simple. So in the words of the prophet Micah, all God asks of us is to act justly, love tenderly, and walk humbly with your God.